Good morning. Thank you, Nicola, for the Bible reading. And in the Philippians, in the passage we have just read, Paul said something very important, which has become a faith proclamation to all the Christians in all the ages. And also, in this hall, over this stage, we have the same word. Jesus Christ is Lord. So how do we understand Jesus Christ is Lord? How do we understand what it means when we say this word? And today, this morning, we will try to use some Greek New Testament background and some Hebrew Old Testament background to understand this word. And then we will go back to the Philippians and try to understand what Paul meant to tell the Philippians when he said Jesus Christ is Lord. To begin, of course, we have to start from the word Lord. In Greek, it is kurios, which means Lord, Master, Owner. And why this word is used in Greek Bible, it all began in the 3rd and the 2nd century BC in Egypt, Alexandria, when the Jewish people, they were translating the Bible from Hebrew to Greek. It turned out to be the Septuagint, which was believed to be the first complete Bible translation in human history. But when they were making this translation, they had a very big question, which is how to translate the name of God. Okay, nowadays we may say that God's name is Jehovah. Jehovah is from Latin, Yehovah, and allow me to say that this translation might not be quite right. It is from a very interesting misunderstanding in the Roman Catholic Church in the past, when there were quite lack of understanding about the Hebrew culture and language. So, how do the Jews call God's name? The answer is, they cannot. The reason is that they believe God's name is holy, and it is totally blasphemous to call God's name. And they were also afraid that they would misuse God's name according to the Ten Commandments. So what can they do? There are actually two ways, or two words. Hashem or Adonai. Hashem means the name, which is more often used in conversation. And Adonai, I think this word can be familiar to some of you, and which is often used in writing, of course, sometimes in conversation as well. And the meaning of Adonai is also Lord. So when they were translating the Bible, they chose the Greek word of kurios to translate Adonai. But still, we have the same question. What is God's name? I'm certain that you have seen this word, if I can call it a word. There are four Hebrew consonants, no vowel, so nobody knows how to pronounce this word. And nowadays, we may try to believe that the pronunciation could be Yahweh. And Yahweh is from Hayah, which is a Hebrew word, which is the Hebrew verb to be. In Exodus chapter 3, when God was sending Moses to Egypt to free his people, and Moses asked God, if they ask me your name, what can I tell them? And God said to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you. So God was telling Moses that his name is I Am. In Hebrew, it is Eyeh Asher Eyeh. Eyeh means I am. Asher can be who or that or what. So Eyeh Asher Eyeh means I am who I am, a perfect translation. But what does it mean? One special feature in Hebrew language is that they do not have tense. So they do not have past tense or present tense or future tense. So Eyeh can mean I was or I am or I will be, or altogether, I was and I am and I will be, which means timeless. So let's look at the setting again. When God was sending Moses to Egypt to free his covenant people, and he was telling Moses that my name is I am, which means my timeless being. So God was telling Moses that I am the timeless God. I am the eternal God. I created all things. I make shalom. I named the first holy Sabbath. I made covenant and I always keep my covenant. I am forever faithful. I'm always the same. I never change. I'm always with my people. I love them, protect them, provide them, and I will guide them in my way. So now go to Egypt, free my people, for I am forever faithful. I keep my covenant and I will be always with you. And this is the meaning of God's name. I want to show you two very interesting passages in the Gospel of John about Jesus. The first one is in chapter 8. The setting is some Jewish people, they were challenging Jesus and they said, oh, you're not yet 50 years old. Have you seen Abraham? And Jesus said, very truly I tell you, before Abraham was born, I am. And the reaction of the people was that they were furious and they picked up stones. They wanted to stone Jesus to die. And the other passage is in chapter 18. It was in Gethsemane. And Jesus, knowing all that was going to happen to him, which is that he was about to be caught, to be arrested, he went out and asked them, the Jewish people, who is it you want? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. And Jesus told them, I am he. And again, the reaction was very strange. All the people drew back and fell on the ground. It is very strange. They were there for Jesus, and Jesus was in front of them, and they were frightened. They all drew back and fell on the ground. But now maybe we can understand what John meant to write, I am and I am he. He was actually saying that Jesus was saying Eye or Eye Asher Eye. And this is totally unacceptable and blasphemous to Jewish people. This is the way God called his name. And when Jesus was saying Eye Asher Eye, it means that Jesus was saying that I am God. And they cannot allow this. And Jesus is indeed God. So the first thing we can learn about Jesus Christ is Lord is that Jesus is God. He is the same covenant God, creation God, almighty God. He is forever faithful. He never changes. He always loves his people, be with his people, provide, protect, and guide his people. And this is our Lord, our God, just like Thomas said, my Lord, my God, Jesus. When there is the Lord, there must be servants. In the Philippians chapter 1, Paul started by saying, Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus. In all the letters Paul wrote, he always called himself a servant of Jesus. And not only Paul, but also all the other disciples, all the other New Testament writers, they always call themselves servant of Jesus. And even nowadays, I think a lot of Christians will say that we are servants of Jesus, or we want to be servants of Jesus. However, I think the translation of servant is too comfortable. And in Greek, it is doulos. And the very, very plain meaning of doulos is slave. Nothing more, nothing less. Slave. I'm certain that you know the difference between servant and slave. Servant gets paid. Servant can rest. Servant has holiday. Servant can retire. Servant can even quit his job. But all of this do not happen with a slave. A slave doesn't own anything, even his life. He only belongs to his master, and he has to do everything his master tells him to do, even to die. So when we are saying that we are Jesus' servant, try to understand that you are saying that you are Jesus' slave, that you totally belong to Jesus, your whole life belongs to Jesus, and you have to follow him, listen to him all the way, completely. However, this concept of slave is quite Greco-Roman, which is quite brutal. But remember that Paul was a Jewish, so he might think a little differently. There are two passages in Exodus. Chapter 21, verse 2, it says, if you buy a Hebrew servant, he is to serve you for 6 years, but in the seventh year, he shall go free without paying anything. It is God's commandment to the Israelites about slaves. God made everybody. God loves everybody. God treats everybody equally, and he never means to enslave anyone. So in the Jewish culture, most of the slaves, most of the servants, they only have to work for a certain years, and after that, they can go. They can go free without paying anything. However, the passage continues. In verse 5 and 6, it says, "But if a servant declares, 'I love my master and my wife and children,' and do not want to go free, then his master must take him before the judges. He shall take him to the door or the doorpost and pierce his ear with an awl. Then he will be his servant for life." So if a servant said, "I love my master, I want to stay with him, serve him for life," he can do it. But he will have to make a mark, like a covenant, a mark for life. So he will serve his master for life. So the second thing we can learn when we say Jesus Christ is Lord is that we are willing to be his servant, and we will dedicate our life to serve Jesus. We belong to him completely. We will always follow, listen to him. But he loves us. He never wants to enslave us. So if we want to go away, he will allow us to go away. However, if you love Jesus, if you want to serve him for life, make a mark. Not a physical mark, but a mark in your life to remind you that in your life you belong to Jesus, and you will serve him all the way until the end. After Kurios and Doulos, now we can go back to the Philippians. In today's reading, it says, "God exalted Jesus to the highest place and gave him the name that is above all names. And at this name, all knees shall bow, all tongues shall acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord." It is very simple. We have to notice that in the beginning of this passage, the first word is a conjunction, therefore. It means that this passage is a conclusion or a result of something mentioned before. In verses 5 to 8, in your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on the cross. First 6 to 8, somebody called Christ him, because they believed that it was actually a hymn or a creed being shared among the early church. And Paul was actually quoting this hymn or creed when he was writing to the Philippians. And what this hymn is telling us is that there are a few things. First, who Jesus is. He is God, same nature God, equal to God. Second, what he chose to do, he chose to empty himself. He took the nature of a servant and in human likeness. Third, after all this, how far had he gone? He completely humbled himself. He obeyed God, willing to die and even die on a cross, the most shameful death. So it was talking about Jesus emptied himself. Jesus obeyed God. And most importantly, he humbled himself willingly. Nobody forced him. He did it voluntarily. And because of this voluntary humility, God exalted him to the highest place. And God gave him the name above all names. In verse 5, there is one word which is not directly translated in any Bible version. This word is tuto, which means this or all of this. It is a very common Greek expression, which means, after all this I have told you, now listen. So when Paul was writing this, he was actually referring to something he wrote previously. Verses 1 to 4. "Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, Then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interest, but each of you to the interest of the others. In a very simple way, it is telling us that because of our unity in Christ and because of his love, we have to encourage and comfort each other. And we have to have fellowship in Holy Spirit. And we have to be tender and compassionate to each other. And in this unity, we have to have one mind, one love, and one spirit. And there shouldn't be any selfish ambition or any empty glory. Those would destroy this unity. And we have to be humble and always value others above ourselves. And we also have to look at others' interest, but not only our own. It is actually how a Christian community should look like. So when Paul was seriously telling the Philippians all about this again, it may mean that the Philippians were not like this, or they were not able to be like this. And in fact, in chapter 4, we can see that Paul openly named two ladies, Euodia and Syntyche, and Paul pleaded them that they have to be in one mind in Jesus. So we can certain that there are some problems in the Philippian church. And I think we're happy that now in Argyle, it seems that we are quite okay, and I believe that we are okay. It is a blessing from God, and I believe that we have to keep working hard to maintain this harmony. But I think what happened in the Philippian church, it wasn't strange. I mean, wherever there are people, there are humans, there are problems. There could be conflicts, arguments, jealousy, selfishness, competition, ambition, and people will say that, oh, I should be better than them, whoever. And why they are doing all this and not me, there could be a lot of problem. And I think very few people, they were able to use their rationality to control or change their thoughts, their attitude, or even their actions. But Christians might be different, or we should be different. It doesn't mean that we are better or we're special, but we have one same Lord. And we know that we are all under our Lord. As we have taught earlier, Jesus is God, the creation God, the covenant God, the almighty God. But he was able, he was willing to humble himself, came to the world, came to the lowest position, and even died on a cross. And we, being his doulos, his servant, how shall we follow him? And Jesus said, a servant is not greater than his master. So when our Lord is so humble, how can we boast? When our Lord loved the world, loved everybody, how can we hate each other? I think this is what Paul meant to tell the Philippians and also telling us today. Before finish, I want to share one more verse, also in Philippians 2, verse 15. So that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a warped and crooked generation, then you will shine among them like stars in the sky. We are indeed in a warped and crooked generation, a world full of noise, full of lies, full of fake value, empty opinions. A lot of people, they do not know what they are doing, and they are not interested in the truth. And we, being children of God, we have to be blameless and pure, without fault. Without fault is a sacrificial language, which is about an animal being sacrificed to God. They have to be perfect. They have to be best. So Paul was telling us that we have to be perfect. We have to be the best in our life so we can offer our life to God. And then we can shine like stars in the sky. In NIV, it uses the word sky, but the original word is cosmos, which means world. So we should shine like stars in the world, in this crooked, this warped generation world. So today we have talked about when we are saying that Jesus Christ is Lord, we are proclaiming that Jesus is God, the Almighty God, the covenant God. And we are willing to be servant, to be his servant, and we would dedicate our whole life to follow him. And also we have to remember Jesus, this almighty God, was willing to humble himself, came to the world, died on the cross. So we have salvation, we have hope. And also we have to go into the world, into this warped and crooked world, and proclaim bravely in Jesus' name, glory and truth. I want to finish by praying. I want to invite everybody to stand up. And I will step down from the stage. You may close your eyes or keep them open, but I wish that all of us can focus on this word above the stage. Jesus Christ is Lord. And if you wish, lift up your hand, focus on this banner. Jesus Christ is Lord. And let us pray. Oh Jesus, our Lord, our God, we praise you, for you are the creation God. You are the covenant God. You are the almighty God. But you humble yourself. You came to the world. You forgot how great you are before our salvation, for our hope. You came to save us. Help us to remember that we have to be your servant. We are willing to be your servant, and we will dedicate our life to serve you for life. And also help us to remember that we have to walk in this world, in this crooked, this distorted world, and proclaim your name and being your children. Help us to shine like stars in this generation. We thank you, Lord. We pray in your name, the most high name, the name above all names, and every knee shall bow, every tongue shall acknowledge that you are Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.